So it's been a while. It's been a long time. Long time coming. Since we've been in here, well, I've been in here. Eddie was in here last week. I heard he did a good job. Heard that he shut it down. Love Eddie's passion. He's a passionate fella. Now he's up in, he's somewhere, he's out of state somewhere today, celebrating with his wifey, so it's all good. So I've been just in this lane, and if you've been with us, we've been talking about, like, the presence of God, in this Land Between little mini-series, and it's been really cool just because, like, I started it just being, like, kind of like a one-time thing, and it's kind of evolved into something else, just out of the need, you know, out of the need of staying in and us really learning and really capturing what this text is talking about. Because sometimes we can move really fast, just through text and through scripture and not really capture everything that it means and capture everything that's in it. Sometimes you can be stuck on one verse forever because there's so much packed in there. So this is going to sound crazy, but we're going to read the same scriptures that we did the 2 weeks before, which is going to be great. So we're going to read those, and then we're going to kind of walk through just from a different angle this whole thing that we've been talking about, just living in the presence of God. All right, so again, we're on page 63. Yes, oh, there we go. Page 63, we are in Exodus chapter 30. You guys are going to have this memorized by the time we're done. Get at me. We're going to start at verse 12. Verse 12, we're going to run to verse 19, okay? Verse number 19. All right, so get there, and then let's go. Let's get after it today. Start at verse 12. If you're there, let me hear you say, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right, here we go. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please, show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord." All right, we're going to stop right there. Again, and this has been our bottom line, again, like the 2 weeks before. It's going to be the same today. All right, and it's this right here. We don't have handouts. It's all good. I just want you to track with me. All right, the bottom line, again, is that we're going to refuse to leave God in the sanctuary. Refuse to leave God in the sanctuary. All right, we're going to just kind of take from Moses' heart and kind of like what we talked about the last time I was in here. And it's going to be good. And so what I mean by this, what I'm saying, just like refusing to leave God in the sanctuary, it's just a call for relationship and not religion, right? Because sometimes we can be in a lane where we're just, you know, we're in church and on a two-day basis, and that can be kind of it. So it's just kind of a call for us to be in relationship with God and not just out of duty, right? But actually in a real relationship with him, all right? Because we looked at Moses, even from the scriptures that we read today, we saw his desire, right? And we talked about that a couple weeks back. We talked about how Moses wanted to have God's presence with him over everything, right? Over everything, that's what Moses desired. He didn't want the promise. He didn't want the material things. He didn't want another person to go with him. Like, he just wanted God's presence. That's what he desired above everything. And everything that Moses said through these scriptures was, "I want you, I want you, I want you." All right, and so then we got that part in the first week, and then we came back the week after, and we talked about what is the presence of God, right? Because we said that Moses desired it so much that he didn't want to leave. He was like, "Man, God, don't even send me from here if your presence is not going to go with me." All right, so we were like, all right, so what is the presence of God? So we started getting down into these questions, right? So we said that the presence of God, it describes, well, presence, like just even the definition of presence, describes the relationship between two people, right? Because, I mean, you can be in a room with somebody, right? It could be you and another person in the room together, but you may not be in relationship with them, right? You may not acknowledge them. Right, so we said that presence was acknowledging another person, another human being, whoever, that you were in relationship with them, all right? And then we said that because of that, the presence of God literally means to be in the face of God, all right? So what is the presence of God? We answered that question. We said it was to be, that's going to hit that for me, bam, we got you, all right? To be face-to-face with God, right? To be in relationship with him, right? And when we're face to face with him, we see his glory, we see his goodness, we see his name unblocked by anything because we're face to face with him, right? And so then we talked about, all right, what keeps me from there? And then we used that illustration where we had Eddie up here that day. I said, Eddie was God and we were face to face. And I was like, all right, what are some things that get between us and God that we give our relationship to? And you guys begin to call out different things. We had a whole line of students up here representing things that we let get between us and God, right? So we were talking about when we give our relationship to other things, it causes us to put like a distance between us and God where he can seem like he's hidden. But in all actuality, it's the things that we put in front of him that we give our face and our relationship to that cause us to draw back away from him, from his presence, all right? So then we were like, all right, so what do we have to do to get there? What do we have to do to get there in his presence? And then we said that the two things that is so easy to do, but it's hard to do at the same time was to set our mind, right, that we're going to be determined to get into his presence and then we're going to call out to him, right? Easy things to do, so easy. But like I said before in that last week, easy to do, I mean, easy to say, hard to do when it comes to like that relationship with God, right? So here we are today, moving on a little bit. I'm just going to read that quote to you one more time so you guys just can see where we're kind of headed today. It just says, when you see the face of God, we are beholding his glory, his name, his goodness. Right? When we're face to face with God, we're beholding all of who he is, his character, who he calls himself, who he has revealed himself to be. We get to see all those things face to face with him. And it's great. It's so awesome. Being in God's presence and being in a relationship with him, seeing all these things. All right, so again, this all evolves around relationship. Everybody say relationship. Y'all got to come harder than that. Say relationship. Relationship. Way to drag that out. All right, it's about relationship, all right, with God. Okay, so here's a couple quotes when we're talking about just relationship with our friends, different things like that. It will say, when we're talking about relationship, you hear these things kind of come up. You know, as people say, you are the company that you keep, right? The flock that you run with, right, is usually going to be people that are similar to you, have the same likes, you know, the same dislikes, things like that. Or you hear the same, the company that you keep around you reflects the character that's within you. All right, so the people that you keep around you, right, they might be reflecting character in one way. And you may be like, I'm not really like that. But like, when we surround ourselves with people who may not match our character, we're saying that about ourselves because we're choosing to be in that nucleus. And what happens a lot of time is you'll see this next one. It says, what you behold is what you become. So even over time, like, we'll say this in a little bit, but like what we give our eyes to, like what we give our time to, what we give our relationship to, like you said, being face to face with other things causes us to kind of take on the character of what's around us. Like, I mean, it's just, we're just kind of built that way, all right? So it's really funny because they talk about it like in marriage a little bit. They say with married people for a really long time, they start to look like each other, right? And you see couples who've been married like, you know, years and years, they start to look like each other. So if Courtney ever starts looking like me, we're gonna have a problem, all right? But yeah, they even said additionally, like, you know, but it's really cool because like these relationships are powerful. Like relationships are really powerful. You know, and it's like, and I'm going to say this too, is that it's powerful enough that to change us even when we don't want to be changed. Like we can get around people who are not necessarily like the best people, or we can get around great people. And just because we're surrounding ourselves in relationship with those people, we kind of take on what they have. And so we begin to change. You know, you see it back in the day, you know, like I used to run with a certain type of crew. And because I was with them, right, I changed the way I walked a little bit. I changed the way I talked a little bit. You know, we've all done that, right? Then you get with another crew, you hang out with them for a little while, and then you start being another way, you know? Like, oh, I gotta adapt. And so, you know, you start being another way. And so it's crazy just how relationships around us can affect us and can change us. And, like, even when we don't necessarily, like, want to be changed, like, relationship is that powerful when we give ourselves to it, all right? So we're going to say this, that with God then, right, if we're built for relationship, we're built for that as human beings. When we give ourselves to God in relationship with him, I mean, true relationship, right? Like a real, like when you're in a relationship with somebody, like you're with them every day, you talk to them, you speak with them, like you go out with them, you buy them things, right? It's a good thing. So when we're in relationship, like real relationship with Jesus, with God, right, it changes who we are, Right? So Moses got to see, right, this God in his glory. Right? And the verse that we just read, and I'm going to read it for you again, it just says this. Oh, my bad. Hey, go back to that quote real fast. Go back to that. Yeah, I don't want to skip this. Yes, relationship with God, being in his presence, is the most expensive free gift you will ever find. The most expensive free gift you will ever find. You're like, what? It's expensive, but it's free. Because when we're talking about relationship with God, or just relationship with anyone, like there's a cost in that. Like you got to put some time in. Like nobody wants a friend that just takes and takes and takes and takes, right? You're like, that's not my friend. You're a buster, right? Like all you do is just take from me. You're taking advantage of me, right? But when we're in like real relationship with God, right, it costs time, right? Some effort, right? It costs us, like, we got to put things away that, you know, that are not like him, right? We got to start walking with different people. We got to start doing different things. And so it costs us to follow him, right? Costs us to follow him. Matter of fact, he tells us to pick up our cross and follow him. It's going to cost a lot, but at the same time, it's the most free gift ever known, because he's made the way. I mean, he paid for everything on his part. Now, all we have to do is follow and give time and give effort and give love and give all those things back to him that he's already made a way for. So even though it's free, it's going to cost us, right, a little bit of work, some effort on our side. Right? And so Moses knew this, and so that's why he got up from where he was and went into the presence of God, right? He knew what he was going to find. He knew he was going to find the glory of God, his name. And so this is what Moses said to God when he gets there. He says, Moses said, please show me your glory. He says this to God, please show me your glory. And then look how God responds to him. And then God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. All right, so we have God saying, I'm going to let my goodness pass before you. My name, right, is going to pass before you. All those things right there, they're all intertwined. His glory, his goodness, his name, all intertwined together. They're going to pass by. So when we're talking about in relationship with God, we're talking about being in his presence, knowing who he is, and we're seeing his glory. When we see all of his character, we're seeing his glory, right? All these things that we're going to get ready to talk about that makes him so glorious, we get to see in his glory. We're gonna unpack that a little bit. It's gonna be good, all right? So when we talk about the names in the Old Testament, anybody know like the importance of names back in the day, right? It wasn't like now people like name their children like Honey Boo Boo or I don't know, number two, number one. But what's like there's some crazy names out there that like celebrities will call their kids. Northwest. Anybody else got some crazy ones? What was that? Pilot Inspector. Thank you, Nathaniel. Number two, success. Really? Wow. Knowledge. Knowledge, success, and ocean. That's crazy. Pilot John. My dad's nickname, my brother, is John Meyer. Johnny Maya. All right, so listen. You got it. Dova King. Fisher Beard. All right, so kind of unlike from today, back in the day, names carried a lot of weight, all right? So usually your name was like your character, who you were, right? Jacob was a liar. His name meant deceiver, right? So, I mean, you find this all throughout the Bible where, like, their name actually like meant like who they were. So it wasn't just like just really flippant with the name given like it is now. And so when we're even talking about like the name of God, it was really, really, really important to Moses when God said, I'm going to show you my name. Because he was going to tell Moses, like, I'm going to show you who I am. Right? Because that's what their culture was used to. Your name means who you are. So God was like, man, I'm going to show you my name, who I am. It's going to be goodness that's going to pass by you. All right? So when I was thinking about that, here's some questions that kind of popped in into my mind. And so, I mean, I wanted to read them to you guys, right? So when we're talking about, you know, glory and things like that, or just our name and what it represents, I was like, man, so what does my name say? Like, so what does my character say? Like, when people look at me, like, what type of name do they give me? Right? Because when people look at God, they give him a name, right? Love, He's my forgiver. He's my savior. You know, like he's got this label on him. That's so why I'm like, man, when people look at me, like, what type of name do I get? What type of name do I carry? Like when I walk past people, right? We call that reputation. When I walk past people, what kind of reputation do I have before them? Right? Like what do they think of me? And not in the sense of I need their approval, right? Their approval for my to feel good. It's not that. But I'm wondering how they feel about the person that I say that I am. Like I say that I follow Jesus. Right? We say that when we were believers, we're Christians, it's like us carrying like a banner around that says God. Like we just walk around with a banner all day. This is like Jesus. We're just walking around the hall. And like when we're walking around carrying this banner, like what does my life look like carrying this banner? You know what I mean? So I was just thinking of myself, like, man, like what am I proclaiming about God when I walk around? What type of name do I have? Right? So I mean like that's something for us to kind of chew on a little bit. So as we're walking today, let that chew on you a little bit. What kind of name do I have? But God gave us his name, right? He proclaimed it himself. So let's read it together. It says, then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him, that's Moses, and proclaimed his name. And said, Lord, and the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithfulness, maintaining love to the thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So as he walked past Moses, this is who I am. This is who you're serving. This is who you're after. This is my glory. This is my goodness. This is my name. All passing before him. He's just proclaiming it before him. And so when we see these things about God, it's the thing that causes us to want to glorify him, to want to lift him up. So when I see God as slow to anger, as compassionate, as loving, as forgiving, I mean, when I see these things about God, it causes me to want to glorify him. And we're going to talk about that glorifying a little bit right now. Right? So what does it mean to glorify? Because the Bible says that we were made to glorify God because of who he is. We were created for it. That's what we're created to do. So you'll see people praise someone or something for what it is. You'll see people enjoy someone or something for who or what it is. And you'll see people replicate or become something or someone because of what it is. Now, you can put this in any text, whether people believe in God or if they don't, we all do this right here. Whether people follow Jesus or follow somebody else, like we all do this because we were built for this. So all across the planet, whether they praise money, whether they praise whatever property, whether they praise friends, whether they praise what, like we are built to praise and glorify something. Whether they enjoy things that are outside of God, whatever they, we were built to enjoy something because of what it is or who it is. And we were built to become something because of what or who it is. We're built that way. We're made that way. So you see people all around certain things because like it's built in us. Like there's something in us, that, right? Everybody across the globe. So when we look at our lives, right? When we look at the same thing, right? For God, we got to say, man, like, all right, he's worthy of being praised because of who he is, right? His name. Right, and I think sometimes we forget to enjoy God. We're going to talk about a little, just enjoying who he is. Like when your mom made like a dope like dish, right? You enjoy that dish, right? You're like, this is so good, mom. Can you make that again? Like enjoying something, right? And then becoming like that thing. All right, so we're going to talk about that. All right, so next question. All right, so why do we praise? Why do we enjoy and become? And I already said it's because we're made to do it. Everybody's made to do it. All right, so here's where we're going to start tracking for us a little bit, all right? So this is where you can start perking up your ears a little bit more right here as we begin to walk through, all right? Y'all ready? So the first one for us, and these are confessions that we can make on a daily basis that will change our life and our relationship with Jesus and God. The first one is I was made for his name. I was made for his name. I was made to glorify God. And you guys know I love Francis Chan. Because he's just a man, right? So Francis Chan has this little quote, and it's like the first line, you can just be done right there. He just says this. He says, the point of your life is to point to him. The point of your life is to point to him. And you're like, man, that's kind of simple. Yeah. Again, it's really simple, but sometimes it's hard to do, right? But the point of who we are as those who follow Jesus is to point back to him. He says, whatever you're doing, God wants to be glorified because
this whole thing is his. So in everything you do, whether you're playing sports, whether you're like into art, whether you're into writing, whatever you're doing, like God made you that way. So when you're doing it to give back to him, man, you're glorifying him. When I do my music, like when I get down, like when my music, God's giving me that gift and I express it in a way that glorifies him. Right? The gifts that we have, the things that we do, everything that we do, you can be chilling with your friends and still glorifying God. In everything we do, we can glorify him. All right? Next one I really want to hit on is like, I was made to enjoy his name. I think sometimes we forget to enjoy God. Like, we get to follow Jesus. Like, we get to enjoy forgiveness and redemption. Like, we get to enjoy the fact that when we leave this earth, like, it doesn't end. We get to be with him for eternity. Like, that all our pain, all our sickness, everything's going to fade away. Right? I mean, there's so much to enjoy because of who God is. And sometimes I think we forget just to enjoy him. Like, because when you start to think about his compassion that he had for us, because he rescued us, when you start to think of his grace, right, on that cross, when you begin to think of how, you know, he didn't just come out and just strike us in his anger, right? He's waiting and is still waiting, right? The Bible says he waits because he's so gracious. He's waiting patiently for people to come and know him, right? That's who he is, right? That he's faithful to the end. He's forgiving. I mean, like when I think of these things of God, I just enjoy it. I just enjoy who he is. Don't forget to do that. Because you'll work yourself to death, right, trying to reach a goal or trying to, like, do a checklist in God. It's not going to work. But we get to enjoy. I enjoy my wife. I enjoy Adam. I enjoy Paige. I enjoy when you're in relationship with people, just like earth, like human beings, like you enjoy them. It's the same thing with God. We get to enjoy who he is. And he's the most perfect person. And we get to enjoy him. All right? Zach's going to hit the flip a couple times for you guys. Prakau, prakau. And this next one, I was made to reflect his name. I was made for his name. I was made to enjoy him. I was made to reflect his name. Right? So in Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And I love the way that the message just kind of begins the statement on the fruits of the Spirit. It just says, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in the orchard. So that's what God does for us. When we live his way, when we glorify him, he brings these fruits in our lives. When we're spending time, when you're spending time with someone, like I said, relationship is powerful. You become like them. So when you're spending time with God, you're becoming like him, and you'll see this fruit pop up in your life from you spending that relationship time with him, right? And it'll come out like it just says here in the next one. It'll come out in love. It'll come out in joy and peace. It'll come out in patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You'll see these things start to come out in you that weren't there before. You're like, man, I really handled myself really well in that situation. Back in the day, I might have slapped somebody. You know, like, you start to see this fruit of God appearing in your life because you're spending time with him, your relationship with him, and you're becoming like him. You're seeing who he is, and he's changing you as you enjoy him, as you praise him, and you become like him. You begin to reflect who he is to other people. And they start to look at you, and they begin to notice some things about yourself. And that's when you begin to cause other people to glorify God. All right, check this out. Last one. It says, man, I was made to be changed by his name. I was made to be changed by his name. All right, so there's these couple of guys, disciples, John and Peter. You might have heard of them. And in the Gospels, Peter, as you know, when it came time for Jesus, when he was arrested, what did Peter do? Anybody know what Peter did when Jesus got arrested? Yo. He did do that. What did he do after that? Yes. Denied that he knew Jesus three times. One to a little girl, right? So you got this guy who was so a different person. He was just sporadic. He wasn't consistent in who he was, right? And then Jesus comes. Jesus is resurrected, right? He gets filled with the Spirit. And then he becomes this guy that people begin to recognize that has been changed and has been with Jesus. All right? Acts 4:13. It just says this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, They perceived that they were uneducated common men. They were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus, right? So they were these other men before. Now they get in front of like a thousand people and tell them they better get their life right with Jesus. Before he went and talked to a little girl about him. Now he's this bold guy, and people look at him like, man, there's something different about this guy. And it says that they recognize that he had been with Jesus. When we are with Jesus, when we're in relationship with him, real relationship, people will perceive that because there'll be something different about you. And you reflect the person that you're with, and that's him, because you're in real relationship with him. And that's what we want. Sometimes, some days, it's harder than other days. But for those of us who, man, say, man, I love you. I love Jesus. Inside of us, we have a spirit. We carry a spirit. And so inside of us, there's a desire deep down inside of us to become like him, to be like him. We want to do the, it's inside of us. And some days we act like we, it doesn't matter. But, man, we want to do the right things before him. We want to please him. We want to glorify him. And sometimes we get hard on ourselves. Like, man, I messed up. I tripped up. It's over. Like, we can get really hard on ourselves. But I'm telling you today that God is encouraging us, inviting us in. He's just that father that picks you up and tells you to keep running. Keep running. Stay with me. I'm here with you. I mean, he's here to build us up. The Bible says that he prunes us. It's like a gardener just making his stuff look good as it goes along. He's building us up for it. To be like him. To be changed. And it's a desire that's deep down inside of us. And sometimes we have to awaken it. Sometimes we have to awaken it inside of us. But if you say today, man, I follow Jesus, that I do love him. Doesn't look like it every day, but I do. Deep down inside of you, there is a spirit that is crying out for that to happen. And we don't have to wait another day. We don't have to wait another minute for that to begin in us. Now, back in the day that Moses saw the glory of God, he heard God proclaim his name as he walked by him. That's what happened with Moses. God walked by him as he was partly hidden. And he heard God proclaim his name and who he is and who he was. But now us in this room today, right, us in this room, we get to experience something that Moses could never experience. Moses didn't get to experience the thing that we get to experience on a daily basis, which is the gospel. The things that God said he was. He said he was gracious. He said he was slow to anger. He said he was forgiving sin. He said he was maintaining love. That means his love, it never fails. The thing that Moses heard with his ears and partially got to see, he was covered up. But we get to see full head on. Jesus on his cross. The Bible says that all the fullness of God dwelled in him. It was pleased to dwell in him. And on that day, as he was on that cross, that was God declaring out across across the time span, who he was, his name, what he's like. And it was an invitation for all of us to come into relationship with him. Man, that's what I want for us today. To come into relationship with Jesus. And I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with him. I'm not saying your relationship is bad with him. I'm not saying that. Right? But we all know that there's no shrinking back in this thing that we call following Jesus. It's only going forward. Would you guys stand with me today? So I've got a couple of responses that I want to read to you guys. With every head bowed, if everybody would close their eyes and just bow their heads as we get ready for worship. I just want to read these off, and I'll read them first, and then if that's you, I'll come back around and, you know, we'll raise hands how we do. And you know we want to pray with you. First one, if you would just say that, I don't want to live any longer without Jesus as my Savior. I don't want to live any longer without he who gave his life for me, declaring his love for me, made a way for me. And if that's you, we're going to pray for you today. It's going to be really good. If you would say, man, I'm ready to begin again. Maybe there's, you know, like there's a step off. Maybe there's a step back. Or maybe you're ready to begin again in your relationship with Jesus, just to hit that reset button. Or maybe you'll say, man, I just need to enjoy who he is. Right? Maybe you want to know his forgiveness today. Maybe you want to know his love. Maybe you want to know his compassion. Maybe you need to enjoy him today. I don't know what's going on in your life. But maybe you need to enjoy that part of him today. Then if you would say, man, I want to become more like him. I need to reflect him more around my friends, my school, and my home with my sisters and my brothers. I need to reflect him more. I want to become more like him. If that's you, we're going to pray with you. And this last one, if you say, man, I don't know what I want. And what I need prayer for isn't on this list, but I want prayer. If that's you, man, we want to pray with you. So with every head bowed as I raise these, I just want you to just unashamed, just raise your hand if this is you. So first one, if you would just say, man, I won't live any longer without Jesus as my Savior. If you say that to me, just raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. Yeah. See those hands? It's awesome. If you say that I'm ready to begin again, it was kind of a slip off, but I'm ready to come back. If you would say, man, that's me, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. See those hands. Then if you would say, Romeo, I need to enjoy him. I just need to know that I'm forgiven. I need to know that I have his grace. I need to know these things. Oh, I need to enjoy these parts of his name that you've been talking about. If that's you, then I want to pray with you. Just raise your hand. Okay. If you would say, I want to become more like him. I want to reflect him more in me. If you would say that, you just raise your hand. See those hands. The last one, if you say, I just want prayer. I just need someone to pray with me about anything. If that's you, just raise your hand. We're going to pray with you. Okay. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to glorify God through worship.